You are now listening to an awesome sermon from the St. Louis Dream Center. Grab a pen and some paper. You're in for a treat.
The scripture we'll be looking at today is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 33 through 38. And it'll be on your screen. It says, when they came to the place called the Skull, Golgotha, they crucified him. The criminals were also crucified, one at his right and the other at his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Meanwhile, the soldiers divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching, but the rulers were making sarcastic remarks. They said, he saved others. If he's the Messiah that God has chosen, let him save himself. The soldiers also made fun of him. They would go up to him and offer him some vinegar and say, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. It was actually written and placed above him that this is the king of the Jews. And I want you to focus on this portion of scripture in verse 34 where it says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You can be seated. This, for me, is a historical moment. Because this is the first Easter I've ever celebrated without either one of my parents being here. Last year, about this time, my father had been in an accident just a couple of days before that I didn't know would be the catalyst for a series of events that would take him on to glory. And it's interesting because during this process, my father and I had a schedule. We would kind of, while he was in the hospital, then in the nursing facility, we would see each other. I think I saw him more during those 3 months. I felt like I had my whole life. 5-6 days a week, I was with him. And the only day of the week that I didn't see him was on Tuesdays because Tuesdays were our service nights. So we had a routine. I would come by after church Sunday, hang out, go by Monday during lunch, spend some time with him. But because Tuesday was such a long day, I said, Dad, Tuesday's the only day that I'm going to miss being with you. And then I knew I would come back Wednesday and spend time with him. Man, what I didn't know was that the Monday that I went to spend lunch with him would be the last Monday that I would spend with him alive. That the Tuesday that we had agreed upon that we would not spend time together would transition into the Monday morning where he would pass before I could get there before lunchtime. If I knew he was going to pass on Wednesday morning, I would have broken my Tuesday schedule to spend time with him. Because I knew, if I knew that he was going to die that day, I would have probably taken the whole day off just so I could spend all of that time with him. But I didn't know that that was his moment to transition out. Isn't hindsight funny? Because in hindsight, I mean, aren't there decisions that you've made that you're like, wow, in hindsight, that was a bad idea? There are relationships that you've gotten into that in hindsight, you're like, why did I even get mixed up with this clown? Oh, I mean clown in women and men, not just the brothers. Women will clown too. Hindsight is the ability to look back on things and get clarity about choices that were made. Here's the challenge with hindsight. You can't go back and change a choice in hindsight. The choice has already been made. Have you ever made a choice that you wish you could take back? Yes. Somebody felt that. Yes. Now listen, if you sit next to that choice, just look at me. Don't look at them. Keep your eye focused up here. You ever made a financial choice that you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have sowed into that or invested in that, a relationship. Man, I gave 3 years to that only to get my heart broken. I wish. And here's the thing in hindsight. When you look in hindsight, you see all the red flags in hindsight that you don't see in the middle, don't you? It's like all of the things that were red flags to everybody around you, you didn't see it because in the middle of it, you can't always see it. That's why it's always good to have somebody on the outside that can speak into your inside because you can't always see things correctly. It's interesting in life. We all see things better in the rearview mirror, don't we? Hindsight. So hindsight is the ability to take the information that we have and simply regret the choices that we've made. But God has something called foresight that allows you to make a decision today that will make your tomorrow better, your next week better. And here's the thing that I want to really drop into your heart today. It's what you don't know or can't see that causes you to make the decisions that you regret. So we go to this text. It's interesting that Jesus' path to the cross is a 12-hour excursion. That Jesus' path to the cross began, it was, yes, before the beginning of time that God had laid this out, but I want to take you and fast forward you to Gethsemane, where he's praying, Lord, if there is another way to pull this thing off, can you do it? He prays this prayer 3 times in the garden. It's like, Lord, if there's another way to do it, do it. But let not my will, but your will be done. Lord, if there's another way to do this, can we do it? But let not my will be done, but your will be done. Lord, if there is a different route to go, yet not my will, but your will be done. And theologians say that Judas with the army came to that garden right around 3 a.m. And they grabbed Jesus and took him to stand before the courts of these men. He stood before the high priest, Annas. Then he stood before the Sanhedrin and their high priest, Caiaphas. And it's interesting because most of their trials are supposed to happen during the daytime, but they were trying him at night because they didn't want anybody to know that they were trying him because of the popularity that Jesus had garnered because of the miracles that he performed. Then he went from Caiaphas to Pilate and from Pilate to Herod. And it was there with Pilate and Herod, who were enemies at first, and Jesus became their common ground. They became boys about Jesus. That the decision was made, finally, to crucify him. So from when he was picked up to when he was put on the cross was 6 hours. Then from when he was on the cross, so 9 a.m., he's on the cross. So when he was on the cross till when he gave up the ghost was 6 hours. So it was 12 hours. That 6 and 6, the Bible says that the number 6 means incomplete, not fully formed. And it also means the works of man. So what Jesus was doing while he was going through the trials, while he was going through the crucifixion and everything that had happened to him, every beating that he took, every slap that he took, every whooping, if you would, on his back from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. was a trial that he stood on that wasn't his to stand. It was yours. And it was mine. He stood in our place during that time. And then as he's on the cross, he has this group of men who are casting lots to see who get his clothes when they die, when he dies. And all of this to complete a work that wasn't his to complete. It was ours. And as these men are sitting there jeering at him, talking about him, beating him, they even jabbed him at one point with a spear. He cries out this one thought that should be unthinkable after 12 hours of being beaten and scourged. Do you know, you all know this, when you're sick or when you're hurting, you actually become the most selfish. Because you're worried about your pain and your discomfort and what's wrong with you. But in the moment of his greatest despair and pain, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the people that were hurting him. And he says, in this moment, I'm looking at the man who punched me. I'm looking at the men who are making fun of me. I'm looking at the people who whipped me with the whip that pulled skin off of my back. And I say, Father, punish them for everything that they deserve. Get them back for everything that they've done to me. Give them a hundredfold curse for every ounce of ridicule that they put towards me. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, Father, even though they don't care about me, even though they're misusing me, even though they don't understand why I'm really here, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew who I really was, if they understood while I was really here, they would celebrate me, not crucify me. If they understood the depths of my love for them, if they understood that no one took my life, I laid my life down for their sake. If they knew that every beating I took, I didn't deserve and didn't have to take, I could have called down legions of angels at any moment and told them to deliver me. But I willingly left myself into their submission, not for my sake, but for their sake. If they only knew that the man that they're beating and ridiculing is the man that loves them more than anybody could ever love them. A man that'll be in their corner when mom and daddy forgets, when everybody walks away. When you're all alone and nobody to talk to because all your friends and family are sleeping, if they only knew that when they were sick, I would be the one to heal them. That when they feel the most lost, the most abandoned, the most lonely, or the most isolated, that I would be the one to comfort them. If they only knew that every dream that they had, I'm the fulfiller of the dream. If they only knew that this death wasn't for the world, it was for you. That if it was only you, I would have died just for you. The criminal on the left, criminal on the right, show us a great example of what one knows and looks forward, and what one doesn't know, and they're going to a different spot. And it says, criminals, in verse 39, one of the criminals hanging there insulted Jesus. Bruh, we're up here together. He insulted Jesus, saying, so, you're really the Messiah. Well, save yourself and us. You're the Messiah. What he didn't know was that Jesus' act on that cross was saving both of them. What he didn't know is that if Jesus got down off of that cross, no one would be saved. What he didn't know is as he is insulting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the other criminal who by revelation, I don't even know, the Bible doesn't even tell us, but he looks at the other criminal and he says, do you not fear God at all? Can't you see? See, what I don't know and what I can't see will hurt me. That you're condemned in the same way that he is. Our punishment is fair. We're getting what we deserved. But this man hadn't done anything wrong. And then, out of the knowledge of what he saw, heard, and knew, when you get to your kingdom, take me with you. See, the one who didn't know made fun of what he didn't understand. The one that did know said, I know who you are. When you get there, I want to go with you too. And what we see is a picture of the world that we live in that Christians are made fun of, teased about what we believe, talked about what we stand for. Our beliefs are ridiculed. There are laws passed even now that make our beliefs make us look like we are rebellious, non-tolerant people who don't care about anybody. But it's because of what they don't know. But we know different. We know that God sent his son, born of a virgin, who died on a cross. And not only did he die on that cross, but he went to hell, took the keys of hell and death, took the power and the authority that was in the devil's hands, and he took it all on 3 days. And then on the third day, he got up with all power, restoring us back to our rightful place. And we don't care who believes or doesn't understand, we know this to be true, and this is the battle cry for our lives. He died for the young black man that may feel marginalized by society. He died for the sex trafficked young lady who has no voice because nobody cares. He died for the young white girl who lives in the suburbs feeling abandoned because her parents are focused on their career. He died for the Hispanic, the Asian. He died for everybody. The problem isn't with his death. The problem is they don't know. They don't know. They don't know that this day symbolizes more than a bunny, more than Easter eggs, more than just the Ten Commandments being shown this time every year, or Jesus Christ Superstar being played on Channel 5 tonight. What they don't know is that the key to a changed life is in this man named Jesus. And for those of you that struggle today with how your faith plays out in our social settings, for those of you that struggle with how your faith plays out with the plight of young black men, or how your faith plays out with the plight of everybody that may have means in the suburbs and doesn't mean anything to them, I got an answer for you today, that Jesus died for every single one of us, and that when we take the kingdom message that he's given us and take it into every fabric of society, it changes society. And it may not change the whole thing, but it will change it one person at a time. So instead of complaining about it, take the kingdom where you go and do something about it. Because you know better. And since you know better, you do better. In hindsight, those same men that ridiculed them, Same people that teased them. Same people that spiked them. Same people that hit them. Would come to their senses after he dies. And in verse 44, it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon when Jesus had died. It says the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, representing the fact that the bridge, the wall between the relationship between God and man no longer exists, that man could go directly into the presence of God himself without a pastor, priest, apostle, or evangelist in front. And it said, Jesus calling out with a loud voice, Father, I commit my hands into your spirit. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last breath. And this was a statement. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God. The same centurions that beat him. The same centurions that were casting lot, throwing dice for his clothes, now look and say, surely this was a righteous man. In Mark's version, it says, surely this was the Son of God. And it said, all the people gathered together and witnessed the sight they saw took place, and they began to beat their chest because they couldn't believe they treated the Son of God the way that they did. Because in hindsight, they look back and see everything that he was and everything that he did, and they were like, we were wrong. And now it's too late. We messed up and killed the Son of God. But what I love about our Jesus is that his death and their movement or their part of it did not cancel their opportunity. It was not too late. That now with him dying and eventually being raised from the dead, that no matter what sin was committed, no matter how bad it was, no matter what mistakes were done, that at the name of Jesus, there is salvation. That at the name of Jesus, if I was a drug addict or a prostitute or a liar or an adulterer, God says now you can be saved if you just come. They didn't know, but now you know. And the question is, now that you know, what do you do with what you know? See, you can walk out and say, okay, I'm just going to go back to my life. That was cool, little churchy thing. I get it. I like the little songs they sang. That dude talking. He was kind of cool. He had a little swag to him. I'm just interjecting. But that Jesus stuff that he was talking about, I don't want nothing to do with that. And here's what I want to share with you as I close. I didn't know he was a healer until I became sick. I didn't know that he was a waymaker until I had no way out. I didn't know he was a provider until I was left without any money and nobody to run to. I didn't know that he was a comforter until I needed comforting and nobody else's voice could give me strength. I didn't know that he was a mind regulator until there was nothing that could bring me peace. I didn't know that he could heal a broken heart even after the drugs wore off, even after the alcoholic buzz left. I was still left with the feeling of everything that I was going through. I didn't know that I no longer needed to anesthetize myself because he is the great anesthetic over all situations. I didn't know. And I didn't know that I needed a savior until somebody told me I was a sinner. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible categorizes you as a sinner. It's not to be offensive. It's the state that we were all in. And we were born that way. We didn't ask for it. It's not even about just your deeds. It's about the way we were born. And the antidote to our sinful nature is through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And what I found at the age of 21 years old, after living 20 some odd years in sin and being lost, is when he found me. I didn't find him. When he found me, I found that he was a waymaker, a friend. I found that he was a strength when I needed strength. I found that he would be my destiny, that every dream that he placed inside of me would be sifted through till he showed me the real dreams that really mattered. I found that he is a great matchmaker because he set me up with my wife. I found that he was a great financial advisor because he led me from poverty to prosperity. I found that he's a great doctor because he led me from sickness into health. I found that he's a great lawyer because he taught me how to keep ourselves out of trouble. I found that he's a great policeman because he is a protector and has angels on his force. I found that he is a strong tower, a friend and a waymaker. But what I found most of all, what I found was I couldn't live without him.
Hope you enjoyed that message. If you live in the St. Louis area or ever plan to visit, we'd love for you to join us at one of our services at 4324 Margaretta at either our 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service. Be blessed. We hope to worship with you soon.